Wilson v. Price, 092904. Mr. Ashman.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel, my name is Gary Ashman. I represent the plaintiff's appellants in this matter. It's an appeal.
And would you keep your voice up, please, Mr. Ashman?
Yes, of course. This is an appeal of the grant of a 12B6 motion brought by the defendants. And the question really homes in on whether or not Alderman Price, when he responded to his constituents' complaints about illegal parking and traffic hazards or safety hazards at or near the business in his ward, the question is whether or not he was undertaking any acts that were related to his duties as the alderman, as an alderman of the city of Harvey, or if he was truly without, in the case's words, without any, absolutely no authority whatsoever to investigate those complaints on site. The district court certainly was correct.
Did he just go out and investigate, or did he attempt to rectify the situation by requiring that the cars be moved?
What he actually did was, and that's a fair dispute, and we haven't had the discovery yet, but what is beyond dispute is that he went out there, admittedly in response to his constituents' complaint. He did observe, in his view, illegal parking, in his view, traffic hazards, safety hazards, and ordered a worker for a business in his ward to move the illegal cars.
He did. There's no dispute on that. He did.
I don't believe there is.
He did order the worker to move the cars.
Well, we don't really know what the altercation, how the altercation started. Alderman Price says one thing. The worker says that he ordered it to move the car, and the worker said, "I'm not moving the car."
And what does the alderman say?
Pardon me?
What does the alderman say?
The alderman says that he asked the worker to move the car.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't that sound more like the acts of a law enforcement officer than a legislator? I'm having trouble with how, when all he has is he's a legislator, and so he's authorized to enact and pass legislation, how he's on the street acting like a police officer.
Well,
agree that's more like what a police officer would do.
Well,
let's start there.
Well, that's certainly the city's argument, but in the Nelson...
Well, no, you agree that this is typically what a police officer would do. You will agree to that.
This is
usually a law enforcement function.
One thing that a police officer does is that. One thing that an alderman does is respond to and investigate constituents' complaints.
And then what?
This court...
Right.
Sorry?
What's he do next?
Well, what he did next was ask the worker to move the car.
Okay, he didn't. Then what?
The worker refused. They got in an altercation. Yeah. He bashed his head.
But isn't his method then, he's got to go in and pass an ordinance that is a $200 fine to have a car parked there.
Well, there is, I believe, an ordinance against illegal parking.
Well, probably sure there is. But, I mean, the point is he's going to make a harsher penalty. That's what a legislator does.
Well, there's no question he exceeded his authority. But in the Nelson case, alderman...
He exceeded his authority by doing what police do instead of what a legislator does. Isn't that the way that worked?
Well, I don't agree that the police would have been authorized to bash the worker's head.
No, not to attack, not to hit the guy. I'm talking about give a ticket or something for not moving the car or getting it towed away.
That aspect is typical of law enforcement. But the question is whether or not he was there on a matter related to his duties.
He was.
Oh, that's
but
important.
What does he do as a result of his investigation?
He exceeds the authority of his duties, and that is a civil rights violation. As in Nelson, when the alderman stormed into the Art Institute private property and seized what they believed to be a profane piece of art depicting, in their view, an obscene a depiction of Mayor Washington. They went upon private property. They confiscated the piece of art. They took it away.
The police went with them, right?
Pardon me?
The police were with them, right?
Police were with them, but Judge Koukouras' decision does not turn on whether police were there. Judge Koukouras' decision turned on, in his words, whether or not the alderman used his position and prestige of his office to act. And whether or not...
He probably did that by getting the police and other things to help him get in and have law enforcement with him.
But that wasn't the...
It wasn't right. I'm just saying...
That's right.
It's certainly different than this case.
I believe Judge Koukouras' opinion in a decision which was ultimately affirmed by the Seventh Circuit turned on whether or not those aldermen used the power of their office and prestige to deprive another of a federal right. And... Clearly, no one can say that storming the Art Institute and confiscating a piece of property is part of a legislature's typical function. The fact is they used their power to do what they wanted, and the court properly held that they were operating under color of state law. Similarly, the paramedic working for the city of Chicago in Cole, when he got into the altercation, with the patient, there is no question that moving a patient in and out of an ambulance is part of the ordinary course of his duties. It's also no question that bashing in the head of a patient is clearly unauthorized and clearly a civil right violation. The city would have us believe in this case that simply because Alderman Price stepped out of bounds, therefore, because that wasn't authorized, therefore it can't be under color of state law. But of course we know that all civil rights violations are beyond the authority of the actor. The question is whether or not the actor was engaged in an act that was somehow related to the functioning of his duties. Now, the city raises questions of other cases that I know Justice Ripple is intimately involved with, the Honecker case. Clearly, it's very simple to see how a mayor of a city, in burning the house down of one of the residents, is engaged in an act not remotely related to the ordinary duties of a city mayor.
Wasn't he the fire chief?
I think he was the mayor, but I may be wrong, Your Honor.
I thought he was both.
He was both.
It was both. Okay. Either way, burning a house down is neither remotely related to the mayor's office functions or the fire chief's office. And in other cases where game wardens are assuming the arrest functions of police, was Alderman Price responding to and investigating his constituents' concern? The answer is yes. It was certainly related and certainly far closer related to his functions as an alderman, much more related than the alderman in Nelson found to be acting under color of state law. The amended complaint clearly alleges that the city had knowledge of Alderman Price's prior violent episodes and assaults and batteries, and alleges their failure to adequately train and supervise and discipline, resulting in a reckless disregard in the rights of citizens as well as the laws.
How do you train, supervise an elected official?
If the city would have us believe that if the city has actual knowledge of prior assaults and batteries, they can, with impunity, sit on their hands and do nothing and allow it to continue to recur. I would advance in response, Justice, that the city certainly can remove an official who engages in repeated acts of assault and battery upon constituents.
Under state law, how do you remove an alderman? Mm-hmm.
Next election.
Well, that's term limit is one, impeachment is another. But I would argue, Mr. Justice, that the city does not have the right to do nothing in the face of actual knowledge of violent acts upon constituents. And, in fact, the city seems to be saying that it has no duty whatsoever when the city does have that actual knowledge. In the Means case, the court found a pattern or custom, even after the allegation of simply a single instance of official misconduct, giving the plaintiff the opportunity and the right to go through discovery and put him to the proofs. This case does not come to you after summary judgment or after trial, and the plaintiff has the right to proceed with this case and discovery, unless it is, in the words of the cases, beyond doubt that there no facts can support his claim. The red light is on. I don't know if I have time to rebut. I leave that, of course, to your discretion.
Thank you. Is it Ms. or Mrs. Liu? Mrs. Liu?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Laura Liu, and I represent Keith Price, the appellee. Mr. Wilson misreads the color of law test this Court placed in Honaker v. Smith. The color of law test requires that the act complained of involve a misuse of power, which is possessed by virtue of state law and made possible only because the wrongdoer is, in fact, clothed with the authority of state law. The test is not simply whether or not the act is related to the duties of the performance of that office. Mr. Wilson alleges essentially in his complaint that Mr. Price misused police power he doesn't possess. He even states in his brief, Mr. Wilson states in his brief, that Price, in the exercise of aldermanic duties for the city of Harvey, was stepping in the shoes for the Harvey police in trying to enforce certain city of Harvey parking regulations.
Suppose this alderman had simply gone to the scene and taken pictures and perhaps addressed the employees of this body shop, whatever it was, and said he would just like information as to, you know, why they found it necessary to park all those cars there. Would he be operating within the scope of his authority or within his job description as an alderman?
Possibly he might be acting under the authority that's actually vested in him as an alderman. But in that case,
so if he punches the guy in the nose while he's simply asked, because of an altercation in simply asking the man questions, then perhaps he's misusing his authority?
If that were the facts alleged, Your Honor.
But I understand. This is a hypothetical. The facts alleged are that he demanded that the cars be removed.
That's correct, Your Honor. After he first tried to call the city of Harvey to enforce the regulation, he went down there essentially to act as the law when he didn't get a response from the city of Harvey. There's no question that he wasn't trying to enforce the law. Had he merely been trying to conduct a fact-finding investigation to determine whether legislation might be necessary, he wouldn't have called the city first.
My point is, your brief at times seems to indicate or suggest heavily that we are bound by the statutory job description of what an alderman does. And it would seem to me that an alderman is still acting and can abuse his power if he moves somewhat away from that job description to secondary activities that are necessary for the fulfillment of his statutory role, i.e. if he does a legislative investigation, tramples on people's rights doing that.
That's correct, Your Honor. If it's within the powers granted to him or that he practices under common law.
I see.
There are other duties related.
So just to complete my brother's thought, then he would be acting under color of law in that kind of circumstance where he investigates, he tries to get information about the cars, why the cars are parked there. That would be related to the complaint, and that's one of the things that he has to do, right?
That depends also if he
responds
actually
to his constituents.
That would be the case if he invoked the position of his office, Your Honor. Mr. Wilson's counsel cites to Nelson versus Streeter for the suggestion that an alderman can exercise police power or use law enforcement authority. That case is completely an opposite because it's factually distinguishable. What the alderman there used was the prestige and power of their position to influence the law enforcement officials who then exercised police power. While the district court decision didn't reach, it actually did reach the Seventh Circuit, but not on the color of law issue. But one of the comments Judge Posner made in dicta, while not ruling on the color of law issue, was whether or not a private citizen storming into the Art Institute could have done the same thing. And we submit that they couldn't.
Here's our problem, I think. Client services is a big part of what legislators at all levels of government today do. And that clearly is, I think, in the alderman's view of this case, would be what he had done here. It's a client service. He was going to get those cars out of there for his constituents. To what degree are we really dealing with blinders if we hold him to this nice fine line, if we hold this nice fine line distinction between, well, his statutory job description, those things that are necessary or appropriate for doing them, but we ignore what is customary for aldermen to do.
Your
and sometimes aldermen engage in self-help
that
to show they're good guys to get the job done.
Engaging in self-help and usurping police powers is not a sanctioned authority of the Office of Aldermen. What Mr. Wilson seeks is a ticket to 1983 relief when he has a remedy under state law. The alderman can be held liable for common law battery, but he didn't act under color of state law.
But to fulfill the purpose of 1983, why should we put these constraints on it? I mean, the alderman was there because he was an alderman. He was talking to this guy because he was an alderman. He demanded the cars be moved. He was using the power and prestige of his office to try to get those cars moved. He was throwing his weight around.
We disagree that he was
leaning on the little guy. Why shouldn't we hold him amenable for a violation of the little guy's civil rights?
Because he doesn't have the authority to demand or execute removal of the cars. He's not like the alderman in the case of Nelson, where they actually acted in concert with police officers. This is a different situation. He drove down to the auto shop after he couldn't get a response and decided to take the law into his own hand and act as a private police force, which the district court below indicated was not within his authority.
So would you say he crossed the line when he socked the guy and knocked him out? I mean, if it's something short of, I mean, you know, give us a way to draw a line here. Because you know that aldermen do, as Judge Ripple said, deal with constituents. So give us some way to draw a line here, because you've agreed he can go out there, right? He can ask questions about this situation. He can observe the cars. He could take photos. He could even ask someone to move the car. Do you think that at that point when the guy refused, that it then became something different because he punched him out?
I think in this case the line is drawn when Mr. Price actually gets out of his car. He yells from the car first, move the cars. And when Mr. Wilson doesn't move the cars, he actually gets out of his car and enters the premises. And at that point, that action, which is essentially harassing and trying to mandate that Mr. Wilson obey his directive, that becomes a matter of law enforcement.
Well, that's when you would say he crossed the line. Let me ask you this. Is Mr. Price still serving in other capacities for the city?
He's currently an alderman.
I mean, there's no other position right now, because I know at one time he was president of the school board and president of the park commission. Is that right?
Correct.
But he did not hold any, and he's still serving as alderman. Has the city ever disciplined him for his conduct at Midnight Auto?
I don't believe so.
Or his other incidents that took place?
I'm not aware of any disciplinary actions.
All right.
Well, he got convicted, didn't he, of a misdemeanor or something?
He did, Your Honor.
Right. He got something. Got fined or
he probation? Has probation. He has to serve community service. And as Judge Panici in that case also held, he overstepped the line. He doesn't possess police authority to use.
But the city hasn't done any counseling or done any remedial or done anything like that with him.
I don't know the facts of that, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Ferguson, is that Ms. or Mrs.?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tiffany Ferguson. I'll be arguing on behalf of the City of Harvey. To address Your Honor's question to my co-counsel, Ms. Liu, Alderman Price has not been disciplined by the City of Harvey. And the reason why is because the City of Harvey has no ability to do so. As has been pointed out, Alderman Price is a publicly elected official. The City of Harvey cannot dictate how he votes, how he chooses to conduct his affairs of his office, how he chooses to respond to his constituents. There was some mention, I believe, while counsel for the appellant was up here, with regard to the concept of somehow impeaching Mr. Price. If assuming that that was possible, and I'm aware of no City of Harvey ordinance that would make it possible, that action would come from the legislative body of the City of Harvey. The City Council would have to decide that its fellow council member was somehow acting in a way that warranted impeachment. But the city, as it stands before the court, has no authority to do any of those things to Mr. Price. I want to turn to the Nelson case just briefly because it's relied upon heavily by the appellant. Not only in the Nelson case were the aldermen accompanied by police officers in order to remove the artwork that they found offensive in the School of the Art Institute, but additionally, if you review the Seventh Circuit opinion, it's clear that the aldermen had taken legislative steps to have the artwork removed and to cut off funding to the School of the Art Institute. So it was a combination of events that were going on, and as Ms. Liu has pointed out, they were accompanied with police officers when they went to remove the artwork.
So can you deal with the question that we've both raised in terms of drawing the line? Okay, because I assume you agree that aldermen do try to serve their constituents, try to deal with issues that are presented, and it would have been fine for him to take a photo or go out there, see the cars, verifies what the constituents said, and even say to the guy, you know, why are the cars here? Can't you move these cars? You know, you agree he could do all that.
I agree, Your Honor. I agree he could also do that as a private citizen, that there's nothing about the authority he is vested with as an alderman that gives him some special ability to investigate, take photos. This is a business that is open to the public.
That's true, but his whole purpose of being there, or
yes,
the whole reason he was there, was because he was an alderman. So you're saying that's fine, all that up to that point. So where do you think he crosses
the line? I draw the line at paragraph 8 in the plaintiff's complaint. And paragraph 8 is when the plaintiffs say Alderman Price reached out to the City of Harvey to have the issue addressed. All the conduct that falls after paragraph 8, the having the discussion with the with Mr. Wilson at Midnight Auto, the later on the altercation, all of that is conduct that clearly Alderman Price had no authority to act upon. In fact, another way of looking at it is from Mr. Wilson's perspective. Mr. Wilson is confronted by someone, and I'm just going to presume for purposes of this scenario that he knew Keith Price was an alderman. We don't know that. That's not alleged in the complaint. Alderman Price says that you must remove the cars. Mr. Wilson, perfectly within his rights, says no, because Alderman Price has no authority to tell Mr. Wilson to do anything. When Alderman Price escalates the event and demands that he get his boss so that Alderman Price can speak with him, again, Mr. Wilson says no, again, because Mr. Wilson is looking at Alderman Price, who he knows has no authority to instruct him to do anything. He's not looking at a police officer. And clearly, when it gets to be the altercation and Mr. Wilson's jaw is broken, all of that is clearly, even if Alderman Price had been a police officer, that would have been excessive, mm-hmm, even under the authority granted a police officer. For all the reasons we've stated in our brief, Your Honor, and I just want to bring the court's attention to the Screws case, the Gibson case, for that matter, the Honaker case that has been talked about by my counsel before me, all of those cases support the contention that clearly there is no acting under color of state law unless the state actor has authority that he is misusing. Just to briefly address the Monell claim, because I'm not sure that it's clear. Your Honor, may I close this thought?
Yes, go ahead.
With regard to the Monell claim, Your Honor, there is nothing in the complaint that lets that suggests that the city has an express policy with regard to Keith Price, that it has some ongoing tacit turning away to Alderman Price's conduct. All that is alleged is that we somehow failed to train, supervise, or otherwise control Alderman Price. As I indicated when I first stepped up here, the city of Harvey has no ability to do so. His electorate certainly can. As Your Honor pointed out, the next election might provide some relief in that regard, but the city of Harvey has no such ability.
Thank you, Ms. Ferguson.
Thank you.
I'll give you an extra minute, counsel, because I let her go over a minute as well.
The city is both contradictory. I want to have it both ways. I have heard counsel tell Your Honors that he had no authority to ask the worker to move the cars, and in response to your question, yes, it's okay, it's perfectly legitimate to ask, could you please move the cars? The point is, he was there as an alderman. He was acting as an alderman. He was acting and using the power and prestige of his office. I do believe that the factual aspects...
Right now, there's no evidence in the record that he told Wilson he was an alderman, right?
There, I did want to get to the issue of the transcripts. The transcripts of the criminal court are not raised for the first time in this appeal. They were attached in the briefs below. They're a public record. Notwithstanding the language of 12b-6, the Henson case makes it clear in the Seventh Circuit that matters that are public record, even outside the pleadings, can be considered on 12b-6 without converting it to summary judgment. There's
the
no
bottom
question.
Line is there's nothing in the complaint or anything that was presented to the district court that indicates that he told Wilson he was an alderman when he asked him to move the car.
I believe the answer is yes in the form of the transcripts attached to the briefs below.
All right. Thank you. Your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ashford.